Underwater.com.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
The following is an encore presentation from WBOB.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay, and joining me in the studio tonight is Cecile Schellenberg, community organizer, community activist. I got to get a little bit of breaking news in. If you've been out riding in your car or out on the boat or maybe fishing or something, haven't had a chance to catch the news, and if you're really interested in this, Elon Musk has agreed to settle with the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, pay a $20 million fine, and step down as the chairman of the board of Tesla. And that's not a big deal for him. He really loves SpaceX more than Tesla anyway. He's got his own, the battery program going, and he's got the Hyperloop program going. So Tesla was just something that, I envision that Elon Musk is a guy that envisions things and gets things started, and then once they're up and rolling, he just kind of loses interest in it, and he goes on to the next thing, kind of like what he did with SpaceX, kind of like what he's doing now with Hyperloop. And so paying $20 million, that's like a dinner out on the town with him, and resigning as board chairman, he's still got controlling interest in the stock. So,
he really does, means nothing. But I think he needs to start to think about the example that he's setting for our country.
What example is that?
I think that you can be smoking pot.
Well,
I'm pretty sure.
Wait a minute. You know what? That probably occurred two or three nights before the whole Kavanaugh incident, where he was grossly drunk and allegedly attacked Blasey Ford, the young lady that just testified. I bet Elon was down the road lighting up a big spliffy the night that happened. I mean,
he's not drinking beer,
But where
he's at least smoking pot, I guess.
Okay.
And it's crazy.
And you never.
I mean, who didn't drink beer when they were in high school?
Who didn't smoke pot?
Well, some people didn't smoke pot. I didn't smoke pot in high school.
Really?
But who didn't drink beer? I went to a Catholic school. I know the environment that he was raised in. There's no way some of the things that have been alleged at this point happened without other people knowing about it. I am not saying that she is not telling the truth. I think that this woman was very credible, and I believe that something happened to her. I just don't think it was with him.
Okay, and I agree with you. Now let's talk about allegations.
Okay.
When do allegations become proof?
When you have proof. And
she
you
has
do not
none.
Have proof
right.
when no one else remembers even being at the event.
Exactly.
There is no proof.
Why is this guy being drugged through the coals? It's because they have an agenda.
Exactly.
And the agenda is, a lot of them are still hurt over the Hillary election. And a major portion of that is because the swamp goes on with Hillary.
Right.
Had Hillary won, the swamp would have gotten deeper. We would be looking at a one world order right now. We
yes.
would look at no borders in the U.S. in the next 25 or 30 years.
Right.
And so I don't think, although I think he's doing an incredible job in Washington, I don't think Donald Trump had any idea how deep the swamp goes. We've got major Republicans that are in the swamp.
Yes.
Jeff Flake is his namesake. Flake is absolutely correct. I'm glad he's not seeking reelection, because I don't think I don't think the voters in his state have the wherewithal to kick him to the curb, which is where he should be.
Well, the thing that's most upsetting is when you look within our FBI and the CIA, these are the organizations that we as a society count on to keep democracy clean. And clearly, you look at some of the things that have happened in those organizations, and they've been dirty.
Well, and I agree with you. And we have a Here's the problem with the FBI. FBI agents or special agents in charge, or even the director, can be easily corrupted by the sense of power and money that comes from those positions, and especially in and about the Washington area. And because they're at the top of the ladder as far as law enforcement is concerned, it's very easy for them to hide their corruptive ways.
Exactly. And when I was a professor, I used to tell my students, there are three things that will corrupt you, and they will corrupt you absolutely. That is money, that is power, and that is sex. They will cause you to do things that you never imagined you were capable of doing. And unless you stop it at the very beginning and don't start down the slippery slope, you will end up in a place that can cause tremendous damage to yourself, your family, your community, your company, your country.
We've moved off of the community aspect, and I think we'll talk a little bit about, and I hope you'll stay in the studio, and we'll talk a little bit about the reactions of women with these sexual assault cases.
Yes.
Mark is on the line, and I think he's on line one. Let's talk with Mark now. Mark, good evening, and welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Hey, well, did you know that this lady was given immunity from prosecution?
Yes.
If she came before the Senate, now I guess she wasn't put under oath or anything, but if she came up there and smeared his character and told bad things, which were completely later to be found out to be completely verifiably not true, that she did this out of vengefulness and spitefulness, off she goes. She doesn't have. She's not charged. She can't be charged with any prosecution, a libel, or anything.
Exactly. And get this. She also was able to finagle, and I haven't figured out how Brett Kavanaugh can give up his rights without even being asked. But apparently, the Republican senior membership told her that she would be immune from civil prosecution by the Kavanaugh family if she slandered his name. I've yet to figure out how the GOP can offer Brett Kavanaugh's position for any civil lawsuit after the fact. If that's the case, why didn't O.J. get it? And if that's the case, why didn't Bill Cosby get it? But that's a totally different. And then on top of that, since you brought it up, Mark, her five GoFundMe accounts that have been set up in her name topped out over $1 million last night, and it's heading towards about 1,200,000 that she's made off of coming and testifying through GoFundMe. Now, GoFundMe right now probably needs to lose every single decent funding request that was ever made through them just because of the fact that they're allowing this woman to make money off of what is basically, because no one will collaborate her story, basically slander.
Well, hey, wouldn't you slander somebody for $1.5 million? I sure would.
Yeah, I got to admit, Mark, I probably would too, buddy. I mean, that's just money is all powerful. I got to go. We got lines tied up. I'll talk to you a little later, buddy. Mark is a great contributor. Line two, we're going to get to you in a second, but we're having a little technical problem on two, so we'll get to you as soon as we can. We're flopping back and forth between one and two, but there's a couple of lines open. 222-TALK, 222-8255. In fact, what I'm going to do is I don't know who's on line two, but what we're going to do is we're going to drop you and then ask you to call back in, and that'll put you up higher in the queue, and we'll just take line two out of rotation.
I just want to make a couple of comments on Mark's call. First of all, My City Connected, that's going to engage all of Jacksonville, you can do GoFundMe there for free. No charge.
Right, but what happens if the person that's getting the GoFundMe doesn't deserve it?
I'm not saying whether this woman deserves it or not.
Right.
I'm just saying for our city, we now have the abilities to do those things for free for very good causes. I would like to address her allegations.
Sure. We're going to do that when we get back from this break. Cecil Schellenberg joining me in the studio, and I want to talk about her allegations. I want to talk about the statute of limitations on sexual assault claims. This woman was apparently sexually assaulted 35 years ago, and she never filed a police report, never got a rape kit, never really did anything about it until, boom, he comes up in the public spotlight. On top of that, she's a major Democratic activist, and apparently her mother's house was foreclosed on by Brett Kavanaugh's mother, who is a judge in the area where she lives. So it just screams to me that there is something wrong with this woman. We're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. We'll be right back. Join us on the backside, won't you?
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. MediShare.com or 877-64-BIBLE.
Tico Sports presents the Spanish broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, don't miss any of the games of the Jaguars 2018 season on WBOB 101.1 FM and 600 AM. Listen to the broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Espanol.
This Sunday, your Jacksonville Jaguars will travel to London to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Game starts at 9:30 AM with the broadcast starting at 9:15 AM.
Don't miss all the action brought to you by Tico Sports with the voices of Javier Carrero and Victor Cora.
The year was 1957, and Elvis Presley purchased a mansion in Memphis, Tennessee, and named it Graceland. And in Liverpool, England, the Cavern Club opened and featured the Beatles, which is where the Fab Four got their start. 1957 was also the year that the Bogers family opened their shoe store on Park Street here in Jacksonville. Since then, Bogers Shoes has been providing orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. Bogers Shoes specializes in extra-wide width shoes, and they offer free evaluations and fittings by three board-certified podiatrists on staff. With your doctor's prescription, they can custom-make orthotics in their on-site lab. Bogers Shoes also carries many popular brands like Birkenstock, For Your Soul by Rocky Brands, New Balance, SAS, and Vionic, just to mention a few. Good old-fashioned customer service has been the key to Bogers Shoes' success since 1957. Stop by 1014 Park Street in Five Points and experience the Bogers Shoes difference. Bogers Shoes, the answer for hurting feet.
Tune in to AM 600 every Saturday morning for the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show, sponsored by Frontline Insurance. Find out where those fish are, what they're biting, and how to get them in the boat. Get the latest fishing info on tides, weather, and new products, and much more from the Sultan of the St. John's, Captain Vic Tyson. Start your weekend right. Tune in to the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show, Saturday mornings from 6 till 8, right here on AM 600 WBOB. Listen online or get the podcast at WBOB.com.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We're going to go real quick because I want to get to the phone lines, and then I want to get back to what you and I were talking about. We're going to bring up Marty. Marty, good evening and welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly. Hello, Marty. Marty. Okay, Marty is apparently off the line, so we will drop Marty. I know it's Marty from St. Augustine. Hopefully he'll call me back. And if you're out there, Marty, and you couldn't hear me, it may be because you're on that, he's got an echo box or something other that he dials in on the phone on. So love to hear from you, Marty. Give us a call back. All right, so let's talk about some things relative to the Kavanaugh trial. First of all, we've got a young lady that in high school apparently was out partying with people, boys and girls together, members of the football team, members of the basketball team, whatever. And she felt, or she describes this incident where she was drinking and apparently attacked and had someone put their hand over her mouth. She was never raped, but she considers it that as though she was sexually assaulted. Now, Kavanaugh says he never did it. The boys that usually he ran in circles with have sworn under oath, under penalty of felony, that it never happened. 65 women have come forward and said that they knew Brett during that period of time and it just wasn't in his character. Several of them were ladies who spent a lot of time drinking with him, beer and other items, and said that, yes, he would get drunk, but he was never violent. And he, you know, he was just a high school kid. So my question is, why did this woman wait 35 years? Why is it a woman who was a political activist? Why is this a woman who, you know, was a staunch supporter of Hillary Clinton? Why is it this woman's mother had her house foreclosed on by Brett Kavanaugh's mother, who was a judge at the time? I mean, all of these things coming together, I'm not saying she wasn't sexually assaulted by someone, but it's clear that it probably wasn't him. And so what's it going to take to get her to understand that she has no proof that was him? He has no proof that it wasn't him. And so it happened 35 years ago. Oh, well, oh, hell, it's too late. You know, why didn't she go get a rape kit that night? Why didn't she go tell an adult that night? Why didn't she go tell a teacher that night? Why didn't she do something? And I know you're going to tell me from a woman's point of view that she was probably scared and she didn't want to look this way or look that way. But you know what? If you didn't want to do it that night, then you don't have permission to bring it up 35 years later. It just happened in your life and that's it.
A couple of things. Yes, I'm going to speak from the woman's perspective. But before I say that, I want to also note that 35 years later in high school, this is craziness. And clearly, the Democrats on that committee had a specific agenda. And whether she was a part of that or not, she was used by them to accomplish what she did.
And she's made $1.2 million out of it.
Correct. But I do want to speak to when.
Would you take that money? If somebody,
I was given $1 million, I was offered $1 million to stop going against the University of Wisconsin system in 1989 when I was the poster child for 27 cases of sexual discrimination, and I turned the money down. So the answer is no, I would never take that money.
Okay.
I fought and I won without a lawyer, only because a lot of people got around me and helped, and we made a difference. Just like Mobilize, it has to be a lot of people who are willing to make a difference in
the
world.
Let's talk about what you touched on for a minute before we go down that other road.
Okay.
Sexual discrimination.
Well, that's very different
I understand
than sexual
that. I understand
harassment.
That, but I want to touch on that for a second. What qualifies as sexual discrimination?
Well, in my case, it was a professor who came up. I made the mistake. I didn't make the mistake. I just happened to get pregnant twice within 1 year when I was coming up for tenure. Things happen.
Okay.
And this professor came in front of a group of other people, said to me, "You had better teach your husband to keep his pecker in his pocket or you're never going to get your research done." And I'm sitting there looking at him thinking, this is the 1990s. I'm not sure you said that. Lots of women work and are successful mothers. I was their golden child beforehand. And then at the vote, there were three white males and myself, and I didn't get it. The university came back immediately and had a decision made that I should have gotten it. And the business school told them they didn't care what they said.
Okay. So
that's sexual discrimination versus sexual harassment.
I understand, but I'm looking at the parameters. What were the parameters that they, and I'm doing this in a broader picture. What was the parameters that they used to say that you didn't deserve tenure?
You're going to love this.
Okay.
It was a picture in Newsweek magazine. They said that I wore a sexy sweater to the Christmas party with a booty dangling from each breast. It was, first of all, you can see me. I'm not a very well-endowed woman. And it was a Talbot sweater. It was crew neck, heavy knit. And it was a Christmas scene of a Christmas tree. And there were three stockings, Christmas stockings across the mantle.
So their excuse was that you did not ethically represent what the school wanted to portray.
That was one of their excuses. Then they said that my teaching record wasn't as good, even though I had won 2 teaching awards and several of the guys didn't win any. Then they went after my research record, which, of course, research is the area that they always go to, because research can be in the eye of the beholder.
It can also bring a lot of money into the school.
Yes. Yes, it can. And my research record was at least as good as the top research record,
case.
But it was a problem.
In that particular case, I side with you on that, and I believe that if the parameters were as you have outlined, then absolutely it was a case of discrimination. They picked on you, and that was it. What I find interesting is that there are African-American males or females, and there are Caucasian females that will sometimes apply for jobs that they're not qualified for.
Yes.
And then scream sexual discrimination or racial discrimination because they don't get the job. How about if we just tell you that you're not qualified because you're not intelligent enough, or you don't have the subject matter, or you don't have the skills to do that job?
And you're right, that does happen. One of the problems is that we have been guilty of trying to advance women and minorities into positions that they shouldn't be in yet, because we know that we need to do something.
And that falls under the category of not tearing down one race. Don't tear down one race to build another race up.
I get your point. That's a very valid point. What we need to do is make sure that we do a better job of getting the education and the opportunities when people are younger.
I agree.
You know, you've got to get mentors in there. You got to get them job experience. Just like I think it was Mark was saying, we've got to give them practical experience. They have to know what you wear when you go to work. They have to understand, this is how you address someone who is your senior. This is how you portray your company. These are social skills, but they're very important skills.
Well, let me tell you something Terrence. Now, I don't know whether Terrence is black, white, green, yellow, or blue, but he wrote in here to Facebook and he said, if you are a child in the inner city and you are over the age of 14, you are lost. If you are an adult over the age of 14, you are lost.
He's correct. 3 out of 4 are.
Correct. So why even try? Target the ones that are under 14. Develop programs
Absolutely.
For them.
Absolutely. And we're going down there, but we started at high school because you've got to start when they can get a job, and then you go down. We have a plan that goes from pre-kindergarten all the way to postgraduate, entrepreneurship, STEM, education, environment.
Perfect.
You just an ecosystem that sets you up to be successful.
I think Marty's back on the line on two, so let's see if we can pick him up. Marty, you there this time?
Yes, I'm there.
Hey,
thank
buddy.
You.
Go
I
ahead.
Mean, I was getting ready to get my snow shovel ready.
Go ahead, buddy. You got a couple of minutes.
Me.
No, never would.
Okay, I think you started talking about the Kavanaugh debacle.
We did.
Are you there?
I am. We're here, buddy.
Let me say something. As a cop of 20 years, I watched this case from a police perspective. And everybody that emotionally comments, and I think your esteemed guest was commenting on it emotionally, and she's wrong. The FBI was originally created to chase crooks across state lines. And Mr. Hoover did an excellent job of being in charge of the FBI. The motto is FBI fidelity, bravery, and integrity. Since the people have tarnished it, like Comey and these other people, that's not the motto anymore. But the agency was supposed to detect spies, do other sorts of federal investigations. It has nothing to do with our democracy, because Mrs. Schellenberg, this is not a democracy. It's a representative republic. But the thing about it is that from a police perspective, the alleged victim, at the most, if she reported the incident then, are you there?
We're here. You got about 45 seconds.
Can I pick up on the end? Because I had a lot to say.
All right, buddy. I'll put you back on hold. Hang on a minute. We'll get back to you
when we
get back. So Marty's going back on hold, and whoever's on one, I don't have a readout for. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill Hayes. Cecile Schellenberg joining me here in the studio. I'm just flustered. I'm being so good to you tonight because I would have popped two veins already. We can't keep throwing money after useless people. They're useless. If they weren't useless, they would have done something with their lives by now. We don't help them.
And
hunger
the
is a great motivator.
For the first time in history, we have research that allows us to identify who is likely to be a successful entrepreneur.
Good deal. We're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. We're going to step away.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump is condemning the attack on a Pittsburgh synagogue as an assault on humanity. He's calling on Americans to unite to conquer hate. The Saturday shooting killed 11 people, left six injured at the Tree of Life Synagogue. The shooter is in custody. The man suspected of being the shooter had appears to have made a number of anti-Semitic posts on a website popular with far-right extremists, including one made shortly before the attack. A law enforcement official identified the shooter as a 46-year-old Pittsburgh man. More than 100 federal police dressed in riot gear blocked a rural highway in southern Mexico shortly before dawn to encourage the migrants from Central America to apply for refugee status in Mexico rather than continue the long, arduous journey north. But police let the caravan proceed after representatives from Mexico's National Human Rights Commission convinced them the road was unfit. This is SRN News.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, president of Conservative Theological University, invites you to expand your biblical knowledge and earn your certified AA through PhD degree with CTU. If you're considering ministry or if you're already serving in ministry, you should consider completing your studies with CTU, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, in the Mandarin community. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview appointment today.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click plumberinjax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7. Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, painters, and many other home contractors. It's easy and it's free. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
The following is an encore presentation from WBOB.
Grease.
Hey, hey.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Boy, I'll tell you what, I had the Riot Act handed to me off air, You know, usually that's me.
Yes.
To Matt.
I understand.
But now that was you giving it to me.
Right,
and
you said you didn't feel like you could give it to me.
Yeah,
and
okay.
So I decided you needed to get a little
okay.
bit of it.
No problem. Gloves are
good.
Off now. Let's go back to Marty real quick because we promised him. Marty, welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly. Marty. Hello.
There we go.
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. It's the problems on your end. I'm looking at it from a police perspective. First of all, when the person was articulating what allegedly happened, it sounds like something that I think they would call misconduct or something where you grab or you grope somebody or something like that. And that has a statute of limitation. If I'm not mistaken, it's 7 years. For somebody to come forward 30-something, whatever amount of years, and say something like this is ridiculous. Also, wherever it happened, the alleged offense should have been referred to that agency to investigate it. And they would have said to the person, sorry, statute of limitations. Okay. Now, as far as the FBI is not their function to do human resource. This would be like somebody who's getting vetted on the police department and the investigators are doing a background check. That's not the purpose of the FBI. But another thing I wanted to mention is the way most people are today, people, Bill, how long ago was the alleged incident?
35 years ago.
Most people 35 years back, they don't even know where they left their false teeth, let alone an incident about, you know, somebody did this to me and that to me. One thing I will say is that Judge Kavanaugh is talking too much, as we say in the police profession. He's exhibiting diarrhea of the mouth because he's answering questions that he shouldn't be answering. For example, stuff to do with drinking. Did you get drunk? Truthfully, Bill, I used to hang out with some wild people, and I don't remember how many drinks I had on a given night.
Exactly.
And I don't. But the thing is, he's answering too many questions, and he should learn how to say, I'm sorry, I don't remember. You can't force me to remember. There's no provision in the law states I have to remember.
But see, that's one of the things, Marty, that's one of the things that the Democratic caucus in this particular committee went after when they talked about the line of questioning they were going to have, is that he would black out and not remember that he was doing things. So if he doesn't answer the question with the best answer that he can give and says, I'm sorry, I just don't remember how many drinks I had, the next thing Cory Booker is going to say is, well, if you can't remember how many drinks you had, how can you remember whether or not you did this to this young lady because she said you were drunk as a skunk? So it's the same thing as if I were to come to you and say, hey, excuse me, but do you still beat your wife? Well, if you say no, that means no, I don't still beat her. And if you say yes, that means I still beat her. So you can't win.
It's a catch-22,
right.
Exactly. But I would like for the people to understand when they watch Cory Booker, who I look at him and I see Adolf Hitler and what's her name, Kamala Harris. I look at those people, and Adolf Hitler is coming back to life and saying, these two people, I would be proud of these people, and I would be proud of them working for me because they're killing this man, and I don't know where they got this experience in interrogation, but they're doing something that would make any petty despot, they would make Robert Mugabe proud, or Adolf Hitler, or any of these other people. Fidel Castro would pat these people on the back the way they're giving this man, who obviously doesn't have the experience at having this stuff thrown at him. They're giving him hell. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
Thanks Marty.
For your show.
Appreciate
good
it, buddy.
Show. I'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you, man. All right. So, I agree with a lot of what Marty says. I mostly agree with the idea that some of these things, when he said early on, need a statute of limitations.
Absolutely.
And so we started at the beginning of the show. I was going to address with you the idea that she never went to anybody. She never told an adult. She never told a teacher. She said that the reason she didn't say anything to anybody is because she didn't want to get in trouble with her mother because she was drinking. Well, you know what? What's the most important thing, sexual assault or your mom getting mad at you because you had a couple of beers? I think the sexual assault would outrank that if it actually occurred. You were going to explain to me off air, we talked about this, why women don't report.
I didn't report.
Why not?
For all those reasons you just said.
Okay, but did it affect you for the rest of your life?
Not only did I not report, I buried the memory. It was a college grad student that I was friendly with. I buried the memory for 30 years. If you had asked me if I was raped, no, of course not. No, 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 no. And then someone very, very close to me got raped, and my nightmares started coming, and the individual on top of this person who was very close to me was the man who had raped me 30 years before.
All right, so...
And I had to go. There's only one person in the whole world who could have known if that was true, and I went to see him. He was the third of our little group of grad students that would do things together. I went to see him, and I said, after lunch and acting normal, I said, is there any way that this could have happened? And he laughed at me. He looked at me and he laughed. He said, Seal, what are you talking about? Of course it happened. Don't you remember? You just stopped doing all the work and I had to do all the work for our finals.
Okay.
30 years. No memory whatsoever. And so when people, it's very easy. If you're a man, even if you're a woman, it's very easy to not understand what happens when you experience that trauma as a woman. But it is a trauma. I trusted this guy. We were studying in my parents' home in the basement. I had moved home from graduate school. We were studying in the basement, and it happened in a minute.
All right. Well, I can't make a comment. Because they don't have that kind of experience.
Right. It's hard. And that's what I'm bringing up. I think what they have done to the judge is despicable. It's just awful. I think he is the very best judge that we could have in this country.
Would it have been better for him? Let's play devil's advocate.
Okay.
He actually did it. Would it have been better for him to negotiate outside of the committee room and say, I'm sorry. I was a kid. I was an idiot. I can't even begin to believe what you've gone through in all these years. Do you think that would have made a difference? Because I don't.
See, and I've wondered, because I've spent some time thinking about that. You're going to hold somebody responsible for something that you did when they were in high school, when they were drinking? I mean, that's just not a realistic thing to do. People grow up, even if they're in college drinking. People consume an awful lot of alcohol in college and do an awful lot of stupid things. Is that forever a black mark on their ability to contribute to our society? If it is, we might as well hang it up.
Right. Well, there are a lot of there are people on that committee that some opposition research has gone and found out that one of them particularly said in his resume that he had outstanding Vietnam service. Apparently he did not, but he sat on that committee. Is that not an ethical thing that needed to be brought up? Should he have sat on that committee? Right. So,
we should, as they're doing this little FBI, not little, this FBI investigation, I think that we should have people investigating what on earth happened on the other side of the aisle during that. How was it okay for Dianne Feinstein to hold on to that,
right,
and not have it investigated.
Well,
and
maybe she
didn't give the letter to the Washington
Post.
Well,
someone from her staff did.
I don't even know if it was her staff. She set her up with the lawyers. The lawyers could have given
exactly.
The letter.
She, you know, this letter that supposedly they're reacting to now was an anonymous letter. How can you adjudicate someone or destroy his life based on an anonymous letter? You send me, I've got a group somewhere here in Jacksonville that's sending me Nazi, white supremacy promotional material. They're sending it to me here at the studio. They're sending it to me at my home. And I just look at it. There's never a return address. And these people are spending, you know, $25, $30 a year on copy material because they're copying 100 pages and putting it in a brown envelope, sticking hand-licking stamps on it and sending it to me. And, you know, I'm just throwing it away. So if you're out there listening to the sound of my voice and you're part of the group that's doing it, just understand, I'm not even reading this garbage anymore. I'm just throwing it away. So you're wasting your time. And when Angie gets it here at the studio, she just looks at it. She knows what it is. Now she's just throwing it away. So have at it. Go ahead. Keep licking them stamps and sending them because we're just throwing them away. Dr. Seal Schellenberg joining me here in the studio. We're going to step away for a couple of minutes and be right back. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Tom and Densmore, you're on deck. We'll get to your phone call when we get back. Join us, won't you?
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Attention all men. Have Viagra and Cialis let you down? Think your best days are behind you? Think again. If you suffer from any type of ED, regardless of your age or medical history, the doctors at Alpha Medical Group can help you now. There's no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Just the newest available proven treatment from Europe using acoustic energy waves. Our FDA-cleared medical device regenerates blood vessels and erectile tissue with short in-office sessions. And it's all done with virtually no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Call now for full information. Call 904-763-1400. That's 904-763-1400. 100% natural, non-invasive way to fix erectile dysfunction. Call 904-763-1400 today and get your life back with Alpha Medical Group. Call 904-763-1400 or visit our website at alphamedicalgroup.com.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, November 2nd and Saturday, November 3rd at 8 p.m., the Jacksonville Symphony presents the music of The Who in the Jacoby Symphony Hall at the Times Union Center for the Performing Arts. Saturday, November 3rd at 9 a.m., it's Shredder Day with the Jacksonville Jaguars at TIAA Bank Field. Check online for details. And Saturday, November 3rd at 8 p.m., see and hear Toto in concert at the Florida Theater.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Mark your calendar. The Lighthouse Retirement Hour normally airs from 9 to 11 Sundays, but this Sunday will air from 3 to 5 p.m. due to the Jaguars' early kickoff in London. You can also hear the Lighthouse Retirement Hour's Saturday edition from noon to 1 p.m. This weekend only, the Sunday edition of the Lighthouse Retirement Hour will air from 3 to 5 p.m. For more information, visit WBOB.com. Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I don't know what that means when you're waving that paper at me. Dr. Seal Schellenberg joining me in the studio. I'm going to keep doing it now.
No, you can call me Seal, Bill.
Okay.
I have fond feelings for you already.
John. Joining me in the studio, let's go to the phone lines and talk to Tom. Tom, welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
I'm glad to talk to you. I need to know how much money is this going to cost the Duval County?
Well, I asked that, Tom, and apparently it's not going to cost us a dime, right?
Nothing ever costs money when it's going to be
okay.
Like this, right?
Well,
I
have a problem with that because I know it always costs us money in the end. But that's not what I called about.
Okay.
What I called about was the fact, when's her show going to be on and what channel and what day?
Okay.
Because I would like to listen to her.
All right. Well, she's a very wonderful person, regardless of how she's treating me tonight in the studio, Tom. We'll get that information for you. So when does it start?
Actually, My City Connected is not my show. It's one of the many things that, if you were with me right now, you could see this five pillar model. And it deals with all the different aspects of what has to be in a healthy, harmonious community. The first pillar is economic empowerment. And if you think of our neighborhoods, we have jobs. That's not the issue. But economic empowerment in those neighborhoods is a real problem. My City Connected is the first centerpiece program under economic empowerment. There's three or four more here that we're not even going to bother to talk about. But My City Connected is the brainchild of an African-American gentleman. His past clients include Disney, DreamWorks, Wells Fargo, Chase, the Radisson, and then a whole slew of small businesses and small governmental agencies. And what he has created is a platform. If you can think about Facebook, but you can think about Facebook and everything else that you've ever seen social media do, whether it's Snapchat, whether it's the GoFundMe, whether it's Craigslist, anything that you can do, video, anything. It's in My City Connected. And the entire intent of that software platform is to bring Jacksonville together as a community so that we can start to be the very best that we can be.
Okay, so that's real good to hear. We can be the best that we can be, and we can be a community. But we have to come to the greater realization that there are big portions of our city that don't want to be in community with the north side. Your husband represents the practically more hoity-toity area of Jacksonville, and I would venture to say that there are very few people that live on Old Mandarin Road or anywhere on the far end of San Jose in the Mandarin area. They really want to have anything to do or associate with anyone from the north side or West Kennett or the west side or Gulf Air, Division Street, 8th Street, that kind of area. So we have to be honest with ourselves. There are tens of thousands of people at the beach that don't want us townies coming over there. And there are probably tens of thousands of people in San Jose and the Mandarin area that don't want the north side people moving into their area. I mean, we can say that we got rid of redlining in our country with respect to real estate. But that's not necessarily true. You can economically force a particular demographic or a particular financial class of individuals into areas to where you don't have to think about them.
Bill, and that's the difference about Mobilize. We are based, my proof of concept is Tangelo Park in Orlando, less than 2 hours from us. Crack-filled, prostitutes, crime-ridden neighborhood is totally turned around, not by taking people out. It's by keeping people in the neighborhood because the neighborhood became one that they wanted to stay in. They improved the schools. They improved the health. They knocked out the food desert. They made it so that it wasn't the objective, oh, let's take these people out of poverty and try to get them to our neighborhoods. No, that breaks up families. That breaks up communities. That breaks up history. We want to make it so that we do an all ships rise.
Okay. Well, I think that the sheriff in Jacksonville probably thinks of it a little bit differently.
I'm sure he does. If I had to go down there,
if you can go into some of these,
I'd be.
Yeah, you go into some of these areas, and you've got 300 people. Case in point, happened a couple of months ago. You got 300 people attending a house party. First of all, who has 300 people at their residence? I've got 12 and a half acres on the river, and I wouldn't invite 300 people to my house. This is a small, like quarter acre lot, and there's 300 people coming to it. There are areas of the West Side and the African-American communities here that they know who's shooting these kids, but they won't snitch on them because they're afraid of breaking some neighborhood code. So first, we've got to change the attitude of the people in multiple ways. One attitude of, we're going to give you a help up, not a hand out.
Exactly.
First thing.
Hand up, not hand down.
Okay. Let me describe to you what I believe runs rampant in a very large portion of our society, not here in Jacksonville alone, but across the country. We just had a devastating hurricane. Well, not a devastating hurricane, because a hurricane really wasn't that devastating, and I've seen it with my own eyes.
Right.
The floods, for the fact that the hurricane just hung out over North Carolina and rained and rained and rained for days. The flooding, where you see a day's end where the second floor balconies are 8 inches underwater. Forget the first floor, the second floor balconies. And then what do you have on top of that? You have residents of those communities looting and stealing from the department stores that are out of power, out of burglar alarms. They can't be reached by most of the police departments because they're busy handling something else. And do you think they're stealing food? No. They're stealing fresh water? No. They're stealing this? No. They're stealing big screen TVs. They're stealing tires. Tires. I got video of five guys carrying 10 tires across a parking lot that's flooded. We took video from the helicopter of them stealing tires.
Bill, you're talking about people who have never owned anything, so they sure don't protect it. They don't own their neighborhoods. They don't own the businesses in their neighborhoods. They don't have any concept of ownership and protecting it like you and I do. And that has to be taught. That's why this is a five-pillar program over under community development. We have housing programs which start to give people equity in their homes, so that they start to have a reason to protect it. We don't hand it to them. We make them work for it. But we put it in such a way that they're able to do it. And we start with they're in high school.
So when you tell me that, when you say give people equity in their homes, somebody's got to give up a home first.
So there's a lot. I am hoping that the mayor decides there's a lot of abandoned houses and places where we can start doing this work.
Who's going to cover the liability if someone gets hurt while they're at that home? See, that's the thing. You've got a demographic of people that will get into a fender bender, and all of a sudden they're claiming that their neck is broke and they're going to sue you. I've witnessed it happen to a friend of mine who didn't even have a scratch on the lady's bumper, but found out that his wife was a local TV celebrity and ended up, she tried to sue him for $100,000, and there wasn't even a scratch on her bumper. No airbags went off, no nothing. And she got a high-powered lawyer, and he got a lawyer, and they ended up suing the insurance company back and forth. And I think the insurance company ended up stroking her a check for about $35,000. $35,000 for a swap and stoop fender bender.
It's very frustrating because then that causes all of our insurance rates to go up.
And it also causes all of her children and her grandchildren and her aunties and her uncles and all of the other ones to think, wow, she got it, so now we'll do it. And it goes on and on and on.
And that is why one of the things under My City Connected, to raise up the African community, we have got to have leaders who are African-American who start to change the mindsets that have been ingrained in individuals who have lived there and lived with generations of those kind of attitudes that you're speaking about.
Well,
and we have them.
I hope we choose better leaders than Corinne Brown, Reggie Brown, and Katrina Brown, because I think all of them are going to be away for a little while. Maybe they can get some continuing education in the prison library system. Not exactly sure. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. We're going to step away for a couple of minutes. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Join us when we get back, won't you?